And now if you'll join with a responsive reading found on Psalms 133, found on page 850. Behold how good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down upon the beard, upon the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded blessings, life forevermore.
Let us turn now to the second reading from the Holy Bible, from the Hebrew Bible, if you will, from the book of Genesis, Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15. You can find it in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along on page 40. Are we hearing this? Good. I guess if you weren't hearing it, you wouldn't say yes, right? This is the ending of the story of Joseph and his coat of many colors. I'm not going to set the context because Joseph does as we go on. But this is where Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. So hear these words. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading for this morning is taken from the Romans, chapter 11, the first verse and the first part of verse 2, and we jump on to verse 29 to the 32 verse, and it's on page 150 in the New Testament, if you want to follow on. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. The word of God to the people of God. Amen.
Let us turn now to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. As you'll recall, we've been marching right through the stories, and today is a little bit different. We've come forward from where we were. Jesus is being tested by the Pharisees and the scribes, trying to trip him up in his knowledge and his understanding of the Jewish faith. He is clear in who he is, and so he has many things to say to them. So we will move now to Matthew 15, 10 through 28. It's in your Pew Bible in the New Testament, starting on page 16. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and that is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I have several questions, interesting questions for you to ponder. By a show of hands, how many of us know what God is thinking? Do you know the mind of God? Well, Jesus thought he did. Jesus was very clear about his understanding of his ministry. Does God change God's mind? Well, the Bible contains several stories where it seems that happened, that God changed God's mind. Just like this story about Jesus and the Canaanite woman whose daughter was tormented by a demon. Do we decide whom God loves and whom God does not love? I wonder. Well, let me share with you an experience you may have heard me mention before, a time in my life when I felt a lot like this Canaanite woman. Many years ago, when I was a brand new college freshman at Indiana University, I was placed fairly randomly in a dorm room with a roommate. a guy whose name was Rick. Well, Rick and I quickly became friends, but I wouldn't describe us as close. We liked a lot of the same music. We had some similar interests, but in many ways we were really very different. Rick's primary identity, he would be the first one to tell you so, Rick's primary identity was as a born-again Christian. Rick attended church every Sunday morning and all throughout the afternoon and several evenings each week. He was a devout Christian who knew the Bible inside and out. In fact, every Sunday he would invite me to his church, but I was content to attend a non-denominational Christian church. Rick was absolutely convinced of his salvation and absolutely convinced of my eternal damnation because I was one of those Roman Catholics. Rick and I believed in the same God. We followed the same Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. We were both young men of faith who read the Bible, but he was going to heaven and I was going to hell. No question. It hurt a lot at the time to be judged and convicted by someone I considered a friend. In fact, it still stings a bit to remember that hurt. And I chuckle at the irony of the first line of today's psalm. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Well, let's together consider this story from Matthew. Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, sent by God to announce the coming kingdom of heaven and to offer salvation to God's chosen people. If you listen to Jesus' words from Matthew, he described the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, Jesus was first and foremost a Jew. Jews were very clear that they were not to have dealings with non-Jews. In the language of that day, non-Jews were referred to as Gentiles. There were Jews and there was everybody else, the Gentiles. Among the Gentiles most shunned by devout Jews were the Canaanites. And on top of all that, a Jewish man generally did not even speak to a woman he didn't know. So with that as background, it is fully understandable why Jesus reacted the way he did to this Canaanite woman who was shouting at him in the street. Jesus' precious time and his attention were directed to the people who needed him, the people to whom he was sent, God's chosen people, but certainly not to this Canaanite woman. So after Jesus ignored her, and then reminded his followers of his true calling, she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." I envision that at this point, Jesus looked deep into her eyes. He saw her for who she really was. And he took a deep breath. This woman clearly believed in God with a genuine faith. She knew who Jesus was, Lord, Son of David, the true Messiah. Her daughter was tormented by a demon, and she knew that Jesus could heal her little one. This Canaanite woman was a child of God in need. Suddenly, Jesus understood more clearly the larger scope of his mission. Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was instantly healed. As Christians, you and I are taught that to know Jesus is to know the true nature of God. You know Jesus through your own interactions with him, through prayer, and through the movement of the Holy Spirit. You can learn more about Jesus and the true nature of God by reading and studying the Holy Bible. It is basic human nature that we see God not necessarily as God is, but rather we see God as we are. Do you want a simple illustration of what I mean? The Bible says that God made humankind in God's image. Okay, if you think about a painting of God, or how you would visualize God in your mind's eye, what color is God's skin? Well, if you're like most people, God's skin is the color of your skin. Is that true? You tend to relate to a God who is pretty much just like you. God must surely share the same opinions, the same preferences, and the same worldview that you have, right? I wonder. God is bigger and more magnificent than anything that you and I can even imagine. All of us together, with all of our combined brain power, cannot even begin to fathom the true nature of God. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Those are fancy words that simply mean that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere. God created every human being, and God loves every single person just as much as God loves you. And that's a whole lot. Every Sunday morning, on the cover of our worship service bulletin, you can look because it's right there right now, you can read the mission statement of our church, which was apparently put together several years before I got here. And it says, as Burns Memorial United Methodist Church, we believe that God loves all people. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we strive to share God's love through our words and actions. Do you believe that this mission statement is true? Is it truly reflected in the way you see the world, in the way you see God, in the way you treat those around you? Why is it then that so many people are so quick to judge other people? Do we decide whom God loves and whom God does not love? What do you think? How does God feel about gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual people? How does God feel about two persons of the same gender who love each other and want to commit their lives together in marriage? How does God feel about Muslims or Buddhists or Hindus or Jews or Christians or atheists or agnostics? How does God feel about Republicans or Democrats or Tea Partiers or Independents? How does God feel about people of different colors or cultures or languages or nationalities? I wonder. The one thing that I know for absolute sure is that God loves all people with a love greater than anything that we can imagine. God loves you that way. God loves you that much. And that indeed is a blessing. Amen.
Amen.